Welcome to day 161 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries in Tustin, California. Today's reading comes from the book of Proverbs, and we are making good progress through that book. And we will read chapters 22, 23, and 24. And today we will read from the New American Standard Bible. Starting at Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1. A good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favor is better than silver and gold. The rich and the poor have a common bond. The Lord is the maker of them all. The prudent sees the evil and hides himself, but the naive go on and are punished for it. The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He who guards himself will be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower becomes the lender's slave. He who sows iniquity will reap vanity, and the rod of his fury will perish. He who is generous will be blessed, for he gives some of his food to the poor. Drive out the scoffer, and contention will go out. Even strife and dishonor will cease. He who loves purity of heart and whose speech is gracious, the king is his friend. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, but he overthrows the words of the treacherous man. The sluggard says, "There's a lion outside. I will be killed in the streets." The mouth of an adulteress is a deep pit. He who is cursed of the Lord will fall into it. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. He who oppresses the poor to make more for himself, or who gives to the rich, will only come to poverty. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your mind to my knowledge, for it will be pleasant if you keep them within you, that they may be ready on your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have taught you today, even you. Have I not written to you excellent things of counsels and knowledge to make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may correctly answer him who sent you? Do not rob the poor because he is poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord will plead their case and take the life of those who rob them. Do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourself. Do not be among those who give pledges, among those who become guarantors for debts. If you have nothing with which to pay, why should he take your bed from under you? Do not move the ancient boundary which your fathers have set. Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. Chapter 23. When you sit down to dine with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you, and put a knife to your throat if you are a man of great appetite. Do not desire his delicacies, for it is deceptive food. Do not weary yourself to gain wealth. Cease from your consideration of it. When you set your eyes on it, it is gone. For wealth certainly makes itself wings like an eagle that flies toward the heavens. Do not eat the bread of a selfish man or desire his delicacies. For as he thinks within himself, so he is. He says to you, eat and drink, but his heart is not with you. You will vomit up the morsel you have eaten and waste your compliments. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. Do not move the ancient boundary or go into the field of the fatherless, for their Redeemer is strong. He will plead their case against you. Apply your heart to discipline and your ears to words of knowledge. Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with the rod, he will not die. You shall strike him with the rod and rescue his soul from Sheol. My son, if your heart is wise, my own heart also will be glad, and my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Listen, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. Do not be with heavy drinkers of wine or with gluttonous eaters of meat, for the heavy drinker and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe one with rags. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who sires a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways. For a harlot is a deep pit, and an adulterous woman is a narrow well. Surely she lurks as a robber and increases the faithless among men. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long over wine. Those who go to taste mixed wine. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. At the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things, and your mind will utter perverse things. And you will be like one who lies down in the middle of the sea, or like one who lies down on the top of a mast. They struck me, but I did not become ill. They beat me, but I did not know it. When shall I awake? I will seek another drink. Chapter 24. Do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them. For their minds devise violence, and their lips talk of trouble. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge increases power. For by wise guidance you will wage war, and in an abundance of counselors there is victory. Wisdom is too exalted for a fool. He does not open his mouth in the gate. One who plans to do evil, men will call a schemer. The devising of folly is sin, and the scoffer is an abomination to men. If you are slack in the day of distress, your strength is limited. Deliver those who are being taken away to death and those who are staggering to slaughter. Oh, hold them back. If you say, see, we did not know this, does he not consider it who weighs the hearts? Does he not know it who keeps your soul And will he not render to man according to his work? My son, eat honey, for it is good. Yes, the honey from the comb is sweet to your taste. Know that wisdom is thus for your soul. If you find it, then there will be a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Do not lie in wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Do not destroy his resting place. For a righteous man falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in time of calamity. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, or the Lord will see it and be displeased, and turn his anger away from him. Do not fret because of evildoers, or be envious of the wicked, for there will be no future for the evil man. The lamp of the wicked will be put out. My son, fear the Lord and the King. Do not associate with those who are given to change, for their calamity will rise suddenly, and who knows the ruin that comes from both of them. These also are sayings of the wise. To show partiality in judgment is not good. He who says to the wicked, "You are righteous," peoples will curse him, nations will abhor him. But to those who rebuke the wicked will be delight, and a good blessing will come upon them. He kisses the lips who gives a right answer. Prepare your work outside and make it ready for yourself in the field. Afterwards, then, build your house. Do not be a witness against your neighbor without cause, and do not deceive with your lips. Do not say, "Thus I shall do to him as he has done to me. I will render to the man according to his work." I pass by the field of the sluggard, and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense, and behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. When I saw, I reflected upon it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, then your poverty will come as a robber, and your want like an armed man. This is the end of today's scripture reading. Throughout the book of Proverbs, we have been hearing over and over again this phrase, the fear of the Lord. And a few days ago, we addressed the meaning of that phrase from the original language of the Hebrew, and it was that it meant a reverence and an awe for God himself. But we also heard when we were in a previous chapter in Proverbs chapter 8, we heard an additional definition. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Proverbs 8:13 tells us, "Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate." The idea here being that if we have a reverence for God, we are in awe of God, we have respect and honor for the Lord, then we also have a respect and honor and a reverence for everything that God hates and God and whatever God loves. In other words, we have the same thought toward things as God has. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And if you have a fear of God, then you also will have such respect for God that whatever God hates, you hate. Whatever sin God hates, you hate. It's interesting that if you can recall back to the story in Genesis chapter 39 of Joseph, when he was being tempted by Potiphar's wife, and she tried to ensnare him and get him into an immoral relationship with her, he had an amazing response to her invitation. He told her, "How then can I do this great evil and sin against God?" He had a fear of God and a hatred for the same evil that God hated, And it demonstrated itself in his actions that he would not participate in, embrace anything that God hated, any evil God hated, adultery, immorality. He wouldn't have anything to do with that because he had a genuine fear of the Lord that caused his thoughts and his actions to line up with the Lord. Is there any sin that God hates that you don't have a hatred for? God hates lying. We heard that several different ways as we've read through these chapters of Proverbs, that he hates a lying tongue, a deceitful tongue, a false witness. So we know that God hates anything that isn't the truth. Do you have a similar hatred for lying and deceit? Or do you find yourself lying and deceiving people quite easily without any twinge of your conscience? Then perhaps you need to consider that your fear of the Lord is not as developed, or you are not as committed to fearing God as you perhaps may have thought. The fear of the Lord, Proverbs 8 told us, is to hate evil. And the person who does fear the Lord has an amazing opportunity to receive some of the most precious benefits of God. Because we heard, as we've been reading through these chapters in Proverbs, many of the benefits that come to the person who does fear the Lord. In chapter 10, we heard that the fear of the Lord prolongs life. That's a powerful promise. That verse goes on to say, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. So the person who fears God has their life literally extended. But the person who hates the things of God, hates to honor God, loves evil, the years of that person will be shortened. This is a tremendous benefit of fearing the Lord. We also heard that the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may avoid the snares of death. There are so many benefits listed in the scriptures for the person who fears the Lord. Psalms 115 tells us he will bless those who reverently fear the Lord. So the person who fears God is a blessed person. Psalm 112 repeats that same idea. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Psalm 128 tells us, when you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you will be happy, and it will be well with you. And it goes on to list, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house, your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. What would a person in today's society pay to have harmony in their house, where there's harmony in their marriage, harmony with their children, where there's just blessing in their household, not discord? Many people who don't know God would pay anything to be able to obtain that. And yet the Bible clearly tells us this is the blessing that comes upon the person that fears God. One of my favorite blessings that's promised to the person who fears God is that God will instruct that person, give them direction. So many people are seeking direction for their life today, and yet it's the offshoot or the benefit of fearing God. Psalm 25 tells us, who is the man who fears the Lord? He, God, will instruct him in the way he should choose. His soul will abide in prosperity. His descendants will inherit the land. And my favorite part, the secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he will make them know his covenant. God will reveal the secrets of God to the person who fears the Lord. God will instruct him in the way that he should go. So many people would love to have such profound instruction, direction. They wonder, They absolutely search high and low, trying to find what is the right decision to make in my life. What direction should I choose? What career should I choose? Should I take this job or that job? Should I move across the country? And yet, here is a promise to the person who fears God that the Lord will instruct him in the way that he should choose, that God will reveal the secrets of the Lord to him, and he'll make him know his covenant. What a priceless, priceless result or benefit from fearing God. As we go through difficult and tumultuous times in the economy of the world, many people are in fear of what will happen to them if the economy gets so bad that they lose their job, don't have income, use up all the money they have in the bank, or what have you. And yet, there's a promise for those who fear the Lord for such times. It says in Psalm 33, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his loving kindness to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine." So even in the worst of economic times, those who fear the Lord, God himself has his eye on them. He knows their circumstance. He knows their situation. He knows how to deliver them from even famine conditions in the world. Yesterday, we read from Proverbs 19, and it gave us this insight that the fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. What a promise to those who fear the Lord. And then today, we heard one of the most amazing promises or benefits for those who fear God. It says in Proverbs 22, verse 4, "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life." God intends for those who fear him, who love him, who honor him in their lives, who show by their very choice of conduct that they truly honor and esteem and love the Lord. And Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." So Jesus always put together love for God and being obedient to God's ways as one thing. And Proverbs that we read previously, that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, as we heard from Proverbs chapter 8, this is a related idea, that fearing God, honoring God, esteeming God, having such a reverence for God that we would never desire in any way in our life, in our heart, in our thoughts, to do anything that would displease the Lord or love or be drawn to something that God considers an abomination. That is the person that really, truly fears the Lord. To me, the Bible is a very practical manual for life because there's so many areas where we are instructed on how to conduct ourselves. And back in the book of Leviticus, chapter 25, verse 36, we heard that the Israelites were instructed by the Lord not to take interest from their brothers, but to fear God. It's interesting that God put those things together, that how a person who says that they love and follow God, that they were to behave in a very particular manner. They weren't to be harsh. They weren't to be people that took advantage of others. Don't take usury or usurious interest from him, but revere your God, honor your God, fear your God. Leviticus 25 instructed the Israelites. And then in Leviticus 25:43, we are instructed, "You shall not rule over him with severity, but you are to revere or fear your God." And this gave us more instruction about how the person who really fears God is to conduct themselves with others. It's telling us if you're a supervisor, if you're an employer, you are not to rule harshly. You're not to be a harsh leader. You are not to deal with your employees or those under your supervision with severity, but fear God, and your fear of God will control or constrain you in your behavior toward other people. If you are harsh with people, if you let your anger fly at people, whether employees or your children, then there is a lack of fear of the Lord in your life that maybe you don't realize, because the Lord puts those things together. It says if you revere God, if you fear God, you're not going to be harsh with those you have authority over. You shall not rule over him with severity, but you are to fear your God. God himself aligned those two things, that the fear of God will change your behavior. It will make you want to act in a way that honors the Lord, that shows reverence for God, that lines up with God's principles. Just like Joseph did when he was confronted with that temptation, he didn't dare pursue that opportunity to sin because he had a fear of God. One New Testament scripture that shows us that God really does connect fear of the Lord or reverence for God with the behavior that an individual has in his interactions with other people is found in Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. And this has to do with fearing God is connected to serving earthly masters well. Now, that's an interesting thought. Maybe you're an employee and you have a boss. And this scripture tells us that you need to serve well out of, because of your fear of the Lord, your reverence for the Lord, as a sincere expression of your devotion to him. Listen to this, Colossians 3:22 from the Amplified Translation. Servants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not only when their eyes are on you as pleasers of men, but in simplicity of purpose with all your heart, because of your reverence for the Lord, as a sincere expression of your devotion to him. Have you not served your earthly master, earthly supervisor, perhaps your boss, or perhaps the owner of the company that you work for? Have you been a person that when they're looking, you do things just the way they ask you to, but when they're not looking, you do whatever you want because you don't agree? This scripture shows us that God connects reverence for God or fear of the Lord with our behavior and our interactions, the way we conduct ourselves with other people. In the case here in Colossians 3, with our earthly supervisors. So can you imagine that God himself sees this issue as very connected, that out of reverence for the Lord, out of fear of the Lord, that we'll be good servants to our earthly supervisors, bosses, or business owners. That's how God sees it, that out of reverence for him and as a sincere expression of your devotion to him, you'll be a good servant to those whose authority you are under. If you are not doing that, then you are not showing or expressing true fear of the Lord, and you're not expressing devotion to God because you are deciding in your own mind that you have the right to not serve your earthly master, boss, supervisor well because of whatever reason you've decided, but it doesn't agree with the Word of God. We have to truly examine ourselves and see if there's any areas in our life where we are not walking in a fear of the Lord, whether it's your interactions with other people, interactions with your boss, interactions with your children. God wants us to be a people whose devotion to the Lord is expressed in our interactions with the human beings we have to deal with on a daily basis. You can't just have a mental and super spiritual idea that you fear God and you have this great awe and reverence for God, but you are unable to express that devotion to the Lord in the way that you treat people, in the way that you speak to people, and the way that you obey when you're asked by a supervisor to do something, or if you're a child, the way that you obey and honor your parents. That too is an expression of your fear of the Lord or lack of it. God wants us to be people who are able to benefit, receive all the benefits that God has for the person who fears God. Long life, friendship with God. There's so many beautiful promises in the Word of God for the person who fears God. Protection from harm. All of these beautiful things are promised to the person who fears the Lord. Ask the Lord to really shine the spotlight of the Holy Spirit upon your heart and show you if there's any way in you that's displeasing to God, that's not honoring to the Lord, that's not showing a fear of the Lord. God will be happy to answer that prayer. Then when the Lord does show you any area of your life and in your heart where you're not honoring the Lord, repent. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to check you when you're about to do something that is dishonoring to the Lord and not showing a fear of God in your life. And then as you walk through your daily interactions with people, ask the Lord, show me how to demonstrate a fear of the Lord in all of my interactions with my words, with my attitude, and with my actions. And then God Himself will be able to bless you as one who fears the Lord. And that scripture that we read today in Proverbs 22 will be yours for the taking. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. That's God's desire for you, and it's available through the fear of the Lord. God bless you and give you a victorious week.